This is probably my favorite book in the Bible. And this is probably, I guess I got a parallel line going because I like a lot of them, but I just like this chapter. Let's see, who's ready to read the first? Okay, let's read them, Rick.
And I always preface this when I look at this with, I've heard Toby and Dr. Henneke say, this is God praying to God. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. That you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed.
Okay, 6 through 10.
I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them.
Okay, 11 through 16, or 15.
In the world, they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Mm-hmm. Holy Father, keep them safe in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I kept them safe and watched over them in your name that you have given me. Not one of them was lost except the one destined for destruction, so that the scripture could be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I am saying these things in the world, so that they may experience my joy completed in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world. I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one.
Okay, 16 through 20.
They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent you them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. One more.
Listen, next, who has 21 through the end of the chapter? Who's got that one? Keep reading, brothers.
That they may be all one, just as you, Father, and in me, and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these things that you have sent me, I made known them, I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them.
Okay. I've mentioned my brother a few times, and that he is he collects Bibles. He has Bibles of all kinds. When I was down there one time, he had a Bible that did not have verses and chapters in it. That's an interesting read. When we started this chapter, it talked about after he had said these words. Well, in that Bible, you have to go all the way back to chapter 13, verse 31. And from there all the way on through, it's Jesus talking. Now, I don't know if that's what John was saying. After he said all this, he decided it's time to pray. He gave some good sermons in there. One of the things he said in there was, don't let your heart be troubled. That's a good text for today, by the way. Then he said to him, I've overcome the world. Just before he's going to start this prayer, he's going to overcome the world. I have a feeling that that had some consternation going on in that day. I think there's a lot of people have a problem with that today. Jesus has overcome the world. Now, it doesn't seem like it sometime, but when you get alone with him, he'll let you know, I'm in control. Even when it doesn't look like he's in control, it's not his problem, it's ours. I have found that to be true in most of the things about Jesus. He's not the problem. I'm the problem. Partly because I see things through a human eye. Talks about creating us his own. That can cause you some questions. You look at some people, maybe I find myself looking in the mirror saying, I can't believe this. How many times have you ever said to yourself, I can't believe I did that? Or you say, wonder why I said that. Wonder why I did that. Well, have to question ourselves. But when Jesus said, I've overcome the world, that baffles me. I look around this world today and I say to him, Lord, where are you? And when I'm still here, whisper back, I'm right here. Don't get alarmed. He's still in control. And then he did an interesting thing, didn't he? He's going to pray. I dare you to try it sometime when you're in charge of a service. Just say to the folks, let's lift our eyes up to heaven and pray. You'll get some funny looks. And you might not be invited back again. As long as I can remember, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. He opened his eyes and looked to heaven and started talking to the Father. Now, I have to admit to you, for years I struggled with this idea about God being one, and yet he appears to us early on as the Holy Spirit. In fact, introduces himself as the Holy Spirit. Because you go back to the very first part of Genesis, and what was it breathing on the open out there? So what is it that's going to bring something out of nothing? It's the Spirit. You know what it says? The Spirit moved on the deep and created everything through him. And it's interesting to me that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God. And when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. John is reminding us here, through the words of Jesus, the Father and I are one and the same. So don't get too caught up in the physical life of Jesus. He's just housing that body so that he can show his spirit to mankind, that you might believe he is more than just Jesus of Nazareth. And so he's going to lift his eyes to heaven and pray. I guess I thought he was talking to himself. And that bothered me some because I didn't want my prayers to be me talking to myself. But he's talking to God the Father. And when you pray to God the Father. Now I have to admit to you, these words are other human beings trying to get you and me to comprehend what they're saying about God. And so they are using terms that are familiar to you and me. Father, Son, we can handle that better than we can Spirit. Because Spirit is something that just, I guess it just kind of baffles us. Is His Spirit here today? He says He is. He says, well, there's just two or three of you gathered in the midst. I'm there with you. And He proves that several times. John talks about Him appearing several times right in the midst of them, and they didn't know it. And so He's going to lift His eyes, and He's going to pray to the Father. I don't really have a problem with that. Because I'm a believer that He is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when He comes to you and me, He comes to you and me through His Spirit. When you read His Word, as we read this morning, it isn't just that John wrote it, it's that Jesus spoke it. And there'll be a number of times in your life when you're going to go to the Scripture and you're going to say, wonder what it's saying. If you're ever going to grasp what it's saying, it's going to be because you have got your spirit in touch with His Spirit. Amen. Now, He's always willing and He's always able to get your attention and mine and to help us with things. The problem is not with Him. The problem is with me. And so He's going to pray the Father. And so He is not praying for Himself. He doesn't have to pray for Himself. He's praying not only for those apostles back there in that day, and that group that's gathered around Him. And I don't know how many of them were there. But He's praying for, think of this now, He's praying for you and me. When I really feel like I need a touch from the Lord, I go to His Word. And more often than not, I'll be in this chapter. Because He is praying to the Father, saying to the Father, You sent me to bring redemption to these people. I've done that. And these have accepted me. They believe that I came from you. Now, folks, that's the key to your Christian life. That you believe that Jesus Christ and God are one and the same. And that He prays for you. Think of that. God take the time for you and me. He said, Father, you gave these people to me. I've often wondered about that. Wonder why he didn't go to the Chinese. I mean, after all, there were only about 300,000, maybe 1,300,000 Jews throughout the world at that time, and there was 125 million Chinese. Why would you want to just convert that few little Jewish people when you had all those Chinese over there? Am I going to be facetious and say he knew what he was doing? I don't know why he chose these people, except he'd gone way back there to Abraham a long time before that. But even in Abraham's day, there were 55 times more people in China than there was in Israel or in all of Palestine.
Doesn't he always use the least of these? Doesn't he always use the Benjamins and the Benjamin line, the least of 12?
Well, he does, but I just wondered why.
Because he wants to show it's him. Yes.
You know, it's, I mean, you know, I just, if it's you and me, we're going to go to the big crowd. What does he do? He finds one little guy named Abram over there. And he's, I have a feeling that the key to it was Abram believed. Maybe he couldn't get those hard-headed Chinese to believe. I think he still has a problem with that with us today. How far are you willing to believe him? Well, he says to the Father, you gave them to me, and I have kept them. And they believe that I have come from you, and they have kept your word. Now, I want to tell you something. That's the key to your Christian life. Don't listen to everything everybody says. When you want to find out something spiritual, go to the Word. Don't argue over which word. My brother is a dyed-in-the-wool King James Version because the Lord wrote it for him. I say to him, Jack, do you realize that God is going to get his word to his people regardless of what translation you use? You know that? That's what it is. Do you realize a lot of people leave churches because they don't read the book they read? Isn't that amazing? And even though they read it, love one another, they're going to leave because you're not reading the right book. Yes, sir.
A lot of people in heaven because of the King James Version in this area. Including my old church where I grew up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thou art right.
There are lots of people around who miss being a blessing because they aren't accepting what other people are doing. Whenever you read the word, don't look at the translator or the translation. Look at whose word it is. Look who spoke the words in the first place. And I know people say, yeah, well, but somebody else translated it the wrong way. Well, they've been translating it forever. And I say to my brother, believe it or not, God has a way of using his word, whatever translation it is. I'm amazed at how we have been able to get to peoples of other languages and get them to believe in spite of whatever translation you have available. It's the Word of God that gets to you. It's the words that Jesus spoke, however you translate them. I went through all these crazy classes because I had to get my degree, and I don't know why I needed that. The translation after translation after translation. I think by the time I got through, I'd been through 23 different language translations. They all say the same thing. They use different words, but they come out in the same place. Jesus Christ is Lord. God so loved the world. It all comes out the same way. John is saying, but Jesus prayed to the Father. He said to him, Father, they're one just like we are. Let that soak in a little bit. You and God can be one. Not by your might, nor by your power, nor by your education, nor by your learning, or your wealth, or anything else, but by His grace. Now, wherever else I am, I need to pause for a minute, because in here He's going to use that wonderful word, glory. I think, that glory is the manifestation of God. You want to bring glory to God, you bring His manifestation. I like that little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why? Well, because I want to bring the presence of Jesus to those around me. When Jesus said, I'm glorifying you, what He's saying is, I am showing the people, you. You want to glorify God? Let Jesus be seen in you. Let His spirit so conquer your spirit that people will not see you, they will see Him. I have to admit to you, I work on that all the time. Then I run across these people and say, well, you can't do it by works. No, I do it by grace. And it's His grace. And so John said, he prayed and said, Father, I've glorified your name here on earth. Now, isn't Jesus manifesting God? Isn't He radiating God? That's what Jesus is all about. Take that away from him and he's just another Jew. But there's a relationship between him and the Father through the Spirit that is just beyond our comprehension. I don't understand it. Of course, I don't understand it. A lot of other things. But I've had people say to me, I can sure tell you whose son you are. You're Horace's son. Well, he had the same last name I have, but he didn't give me my last name. My birth father's name was Williams also. But he decided he didn't want his family, so he walked off and left us. And along comes another man by the name of Williams, and my mother loved him, and they married and never changed my name. He thought he had adopted us at the time that they were married. He didn't realize there's a formal process you have to go through to adopt children. I was in my 50s before I convinced him that he never adopted us. It came with the marriage. I got good news for you. You've been adopted. Whether you like it or not, you've been adopted. The key to it is that you know who your father is in the adoption. And Jesus says, Father, you and I are one. And then comes this interesting thing, and they are one in us. Wow. How do you become one in Him? To accept that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That in your repentance, your confession, your acceptance of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, you become one with Him. And then He gets into this mode of, under Father, you and I are one. And me and them are one. We're all one. I want them to be in me as I am in you, and you are in me, and we're all going to be one. I don't understand that. I believe it. And I have to filter through a lot of other things to get that belief in there that Jesus Christ and God and I are one. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus. But I've been adopted. I've been brought into His family because He came to walk among men, that men might see that He is God. And you know, when you think about all the things He didn't write about Jesus that He did and said, and it's amazing to me that He didn't just knock some of them out. I mean, I wonder why He didn't do things a little differently. He could have. There could have been another plan, but there wasn't. But He said, Father, these have accepted me. He's including you and me in that. If you really accept Him. Accept Him not only as Jesus of Nazareth, but as the expression of God to man. That in Him, we use the term life eternal or everlasting life. I don't understand that. I want to be a part of it. And to be a part of it, you have to believe that Jesus Christ and God are one. And live that way. You can't just confess it. If you confess it and don't live it, it'll get out on you. One thing about the world, they're good fruit inspectors. And they're no bad apples when they see them. Jesus is saying to them, Father, I'm coming to you. Toby translation, and I'm bringing them with me. I want to be a part of that. And to be a part of that, I have to believe Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, still in control of this whole world. And He'll guide you and me if we'll ask Him. And if we'll let Him. Now, I don't know about how Jesus and God are praying here together. God can talk anytime, anywhere, through any being He wants to. Now, don't look at me that way. He can speak through you and me if He wants to. He'll speak to you and me if we let Him. That's hard for me to grasp. I'm going to let God do something? No. I just have to submit to His will. I have to be caught up in His glory. And that my life is exhibiting what He wants the world to see. That God can change a poor lost sinner like me and set him free and live through me and live through you. not by my might, nor by my power, nor by my education, nor by my status in life, but by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the key to it. And so, Jesus is going to keep on praying until he finally gets down to where he says, Father, I'm coming to you. I'm going to bring them with me. The Tobit translation. I want them to be where I am. Now, I don't know where that is. We call it heaven. And we try to describe it. And I don't think our descriptions are very good. I think it's going to be far beyond anything we can comprehend. To me, I think the beauty of it all is for Jesus to say to them in his prayer, Father, I want them to be where I am. That's my prayer for you and for me. That the Father will prepare us to be with him. And I have a struggle, a good struggle, with trying to figure out how am I going to be in him? What is he going to do to me that will bring me into him? I don't know. I just know this. I want to submit myself to him in such a manner that when it's all over, I would have brought glory to him. That men will see God through me and through you. And he does it sometimes when we don't even know it. Isn't it interesting how many things you say you didn't say? How many times you had somebody say to you, I remember you saying such and such. I always say to Mama, put that in my notes. That sounds good. But I know what Jesus said. If you love me, you love the Father, and you love my people. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Thank you for dwelling with us. Pray this morning that you help those people here who are carrying heavy burdens. You already know them, and you're already stepping in to help them. Pray you be with Brother Hennick and Ray Dean this morning. We thank you for him and his life. Pray you'll anoint him with your Holy Spirit today. Send each of us out of here today to allow your glory to radiate from us to others around us so that someone will believe and receive life everlasting. Bless these men and their families. Allow your Holy Spirit to live through them and reveal your presence to others they come in contact with. Pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a good day.